Eagles Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schermatti filling in for Bick Nizar today. He is filling in for the sick Satyar Shah. He's sick in multiple ways. He's got a...
So sick.
He's dealing with an infection, and also, he's a sick dude. You can text in 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you. In Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. And also, we are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews.
What are you waiting for?
Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintech.net. I tried to Dan Riccio that read for you. Because I know you love it.
I do.
I know you love it. How are you today,
though? Kintech.net.
Yes.
I'm good. Hosting with you, how could I not be good?
Excited. I'm excited. And we got a lot to get into.
You're quite profane on Twitter.
We don't have to get into this.
You're editing videos now. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun.
It's very profane. It's not very profane.
The language?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Get over it.
Listen to a few rap songs, but go off, King.
It's fine.
I will say the cuts have been nice.
The cuts?
You've done a good job.
Oh, thank you. You can see what we're talking about at Elliott Wolf J on Twitter if you're interested. Trying some new things. Think it's been fine. Later on the show today, we got a lot to get into. Obviously, the Canucks, they took on the Calgary Flames on Saturday. Another win for the team. And now they are 1 win away and a little bit of help from clinching a playoff spot. In March, who would have thought? If they win tonight,
if they win tonight
and Vegas also wins, which, hey, maybe you're not rooting for a Vegas win because you want them to miss the playoffs, which is fair. I can get on board with that. But if that happens, Vegas win and they beat St. Louis and the Canucks win, then the Vancouver Canucks have clinched a playoff spot.
Yes, sir. You're stealing my thunder here in the tea.
Well, we'll get into it in the tea, but also later in the show, Alex Gange-Ruzic from One Soccer will join us to talk about Canada going to the Copa America. So we'll get
this
into
this. Is massive, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
people
no, it's big.
To,
even for
need
me,
to educate themselves on how big this is.
A non-soccer guy, I'm like, hey, I know this is large. So we'll get into that with Alex in the second half of the show. But it is time for the tea.
So while we wait for updates from Rick Tocchet post-practice, that audio should be coming down in moments. Let's start with this, the hot tea of the day, Josh. The Canucks can clinch a playoff spot tonight with a St. Louis loss.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Well, the Canucks have to win, too. But who would have thought that in March, March 25th to be exact, the Canucks would be not only a team that has a chance to clinch a playoff spot.
The first team
in the National Hockey League to potentially, like, they got to get the job done, but potentially clinch a playoff spot. That is huge. And I was talking with some friends today, and it was like, man, could you imagine? Like, we were talking before the season about this being a bubble playoff team, and, you know, if everything goes right, even Jim Rutherford said it, if everything goes right, this team is a playoff team. And now they're challenging for a President's Trophy, and they could, if they win tonight and the St. Louis Blues lose, they would be the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and that would be huge. And I got to stop saying that would be huge. But do you think it happens tonight? Canucks riding some confidence right now. Vegas has been stumbling, so that might also be part of it. Where
St. Louis just gets
it done.
I think St. Louis loses. I'm going to manifest.
Would you rather Vegas win and the Canucks clinch, or St. Louis win and Vegas be that much closer to potentially missing out on the playoffs?
Ooh,
because it's like, hey, you can have your selfish. It's short term versus long term, right?
Let the Blues win then.
So you want the Blues to win?
I hate Vegas.
It would just be so fun if they miss.
Yeah,
you know
all the LTIR stuff.
Mm-hmm. And look, even if
they'll still be good next year.
Yeah, exactly. They control their own destiny. Vegas does still. They have one game in hand on St. Louis, and they're 4 points up. But essentially, like, if Vegas wins tonight, I'm willing to close the book on Vegas missing the playoffs or potentially missing the playoffs. But
really?
If St. Louis wins, then I'm I have renewed hope. But I think I agree. I would rather a St. Louis win tonight, but the consolation prize being the Canucks clinching a playoff spot, that is more than fine. What do we got next?
Well, I'm just thinking about the point. I wasn't ready to move on yet. I was just thinking about whether St. Louis can catch Vegas if they lose tonight. If it's an OTL, do you feel the same way?
Like if Vegas loses,
if Vegas wins in overtime, do you still think? Do you still close the book on St. Louis?
Probably. Just because, it's a 5-point gap, and Vegas would still have a game in hand. That just feels like that's a lot to make up in 11 games, and it would be a lot to make up. Blues would only have 10 games left.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to make up in a short amount of time, and I just don't know where my confidence is at with the Blues. Especially, like, I'm not confident in St. Louis. There's a reason I would rather the Blues make the playoffs and potentially play the Canucks than the Vegas Golden Knights.
We always have the Blues number in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
they do.
So the Blues have. Okay, so hold on. So the Blues have to play Calgary. That could be a win. San Jose, you write that in as a win. They play San Jose twice down the stretch, and Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and Seattle.
And this
is an easy stretch for the Blues.
Yeah, there's potential 4 points to be made up. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I don't know if there's enough runway. I guess is what I'm trying to say. 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. This one, where's Bick? Just tuned in. Bick is on Canuck Central today.
Sat's on the IL.
And this one, Eric and Nanaimo. Hot take, I don't want to clinch tonight because I want the Blues to win and to beat Vegas.
Here's the thing. Vancouver is going to make the playoffs. Like, we know this.
And that's what I'm saying.
Tonight's more of a ceremonial thing.
It would be like the gratification of it happening sooner rather than
Let's
later.
Let's practice delayed gratification.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just be fine, have some patience, and eventually we'll get there.
Yeah. You want some more tea?
I would love some
more
tea.
Let's wait for Talk It. I was going to get into the Elias Lindholm update, but let's just see what Talk It says. So let's move on. The JT Miller glow up in Vancouver has been crazy this year.
So I saw you put this in there. Is it crazy this year, or were people just sleeping on him in previous seasons?
It's crazy this year.
I think
no body language issues.
Right.
He's playing outstanding.
He was playing outstanding last year.
Yeah,
too,
but when you listen to JT Miller in the media and his post-game scrums, his practice scrums,
mm-hmm.
way different JT Miller than in the past.
Here's my thing. Is
like I actually appreciate this year's JT Miller more than any JT Miller of the past.
I just think that he's a guy that when people, like when the team is good and they're winning, people are like, oh, this guy's great. I love him. Who cares about like potential mistakes that he makes here and there? And I'm
You're
not
going to discount his maturity.
I think he's grown a bit, but I also think he's just he's a guy that's really high and low. And that's not like I had no problem with JT Miller last year, but it's just he's a player that plays with emotion. So when the team is winning, he has really high highs. And look, if you're a fan, you look at it and you gravitate towards him because he's a very emotional player. But when it's low, like it was at the beginning of last year, that's when people had their issues with him, right? And I think he can sometimes take the brunt of that emotion a little bit, and he'll be a little more frustrating as a fan, I guess. But I think he always had this level of maturity in him. It was just people were reading into a lot of what he did last year and a lot of what he said last year because the team was bad and they were mad about his contract and they wanted reasons to be mad at JT Miller. And this year, look, there's no reason to be mad at the team or Miller, and he's playing very, very well.
Yeah, but even when this team has gone through blips this year, he's been level-headed.
Yeah, but it's also way easier to be level-headed when you're like, we're still first in the league, you know? If you're the player. Whereas if they were battling for a playoff spot, it might be a little bit different.
I would still have faith.
And here's what I will say.
Crowd's like, chanting his name.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
His daughter is watching in awe.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Cool moment.
It's a great story.
Cool
this,
moment, for sure.
This, in every sense of the word, is a glow up.
Look, I can see it that way. I just do think people were sleeping on him a little bit too.
Were you?
I was not. I was always a big JT Miller proponent. I'll take that to the bank.
I'm sure you will.
I always pick Miller over Horvat, too. Just to throw that out there,
all
the
people,
way.
Man. All the people that were picking Miller over Horvat, just coming out of the woodwork.
Taking my
this
victory
year.
Lap. Dude, look everybody. At, you can, hey, pull up the receipts from last year and the year before.
Do you have them on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go through it in the break.
Well, you'll have to parse through the swear words.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, the
you're
profanity.
So profane, yeah.
The profanity yeah. on my Twitter, so
and
good
the,
luck.
And in the videos.
I don't want you to get offended.
But it's a trend, so it's okay.
It's a song. I didn't sing the song.
The next hot tea. Actually, this is very hot tea. I think a lot of Canucks fans are happy about this. Jonathan Lekkerimäki has been assigned to Abbotsford for 3 weeks before he goes to play for Sweden at the Worlds. This is exciting.
Yes. And so today, I believe it was Chris Faber had an article mm-hmm. on Canucks.com that said, hey, there's a chance he plays a game or two as well in Abbotsford. And the idea for him going to Abbotsford is that he's going to stay in game shape and he's going to – obviously, there's a benefit for the Canucks to see what they need to do with him and where his development is at in regards to being within their organization. But it's really exciting for Abbotsford as well because if he does get into a couple games, I wonder – what he'll look like with that competition. And he still has to adjust to the smaller ice, so I'm not going to crap on him for struggling if he does struggle. But it would be very, very exciting to see him get into a couple games. Even him just being in Abbotsford is pretty exciting for the team. And I'm looking forward to see what he does at the World Championships as well, assuming he does make that roster. Hey, making that roster as a 19-year-old, it's impressive. And if he does do that, we'll have some alternate viewing as the Canucks are in the playoffs and Lekkerimäki's in the World Championships as well. It'll be exciting times here in Vancouver, but hopefully he gets into a couple games in Abbotsford as well. Because I know Atu Ratu has been
four-point game.
Four-point game. I think he has 9 points yeah. in his last three games. He's been on fire, so if they can get some chemistry going, it might be a good for Abbotsford
this,
season ticket
this
holders.
Is one of those things that as a Canucks fan you look at and you're like, finally, you're not going into an offseason thinking how are you going to replace these UFAs that are, you know, some may walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You finally have pieces in the pipeline that you know are coming in and supplementing those players.
Mm-hmm.
Those roster spots.
And
whatever.
I don't know if we can like pencil in Lekkerimäki to next year's roster.
But the fact that it's coming.
Yeah, you know
you
that.
You can see it coming.
Yeah, you know that next year, at some point, I would say, Lekkerimäki is going to get a chance. And if not, then it'll be the year after. Mm. But yeah, to your point, you know that you have a legit scoring winger who should be on the way. And we'll see how his game translates. But it's like, I was trying to think, is he the most exciting prospect they've had since Quinn Hughes? Because like, there's Pod Colson and there's Hoglander.
Yeah. Hoglander had an electric start.
And that's kind of the comparison. Hoglander was good in the NHL. And yeah. he was decent. He was good in the SHL as well. So I think people were maybe a little more hyped on him. And I wonder if the last year's season for Lekkerimäki maybe brought it down a bit. But he's definitely the prospect with the most potential since Quinn Hughes. And so that's exciting.
Certainly.
It's exciting for a team that is also at the top of the league. Because we talk a lot about this with other teams where it's like, hey, this organization as a whole, this program is so well built that they can just have guys that are consistently getting into the lineup year in, year out. So if they lose someone, they have someone on an entry-level contract or on a cheap deal who's ready to step in. And if the Canucks can start to build that sort of system and have some, you know, guys that are ready to take that next step when they do lose some guys to UFA or maybe they get priced out, whatever it is, Lekkerimäki can be a big piece in that. And I think Atu Ratu is showing in a bit of a small sample that maybe he can be part of it as well. But it's
development isn't linear. You got to let these kids cook.
For sure.
Let him marinate in the AHL. That's okay.
And Lekkerimäki might be the biggest example of that because yeah. I think a lot of people wrote him off last year. And now, so you say JT Miller had a big glow up. Lekkerimäki might have had a bigger glow up this year.
Yeah, but one is expected. One is.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
We were just talking about him. Is Nils Höglander him?
Nils Höglander. Okay.
He has 22 five-on-five goals.
Mm.
For a guy that is, like, what, 16th in ice time on this team?
Yeah. So here's who he's...
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it's nuts. So here's who he's ahead in five-on-five goals. Just on the Canucks, JT Miller, Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson. He's also ahead of, if we look around the league, five-on-five goals this season, Connor McDavid, William Nylander, Leon Draisaitl, Kyle Connor, Nikita Kucherov, Sidney Crosby, Kaprizov, Jason Robertson, Connor Bedard, Jake Gensel, Brady Tkachuk. Those are just some of the names.
It's outstanding.
That he is ahead of in five-on-five goals so far this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hirsch.
Yeah, it's been a nice year for Nils Höglander. Do you think so? He's got all these 5-on-5 goals, and I think a lot of the conversation maybe comes to, like, hey, why isn't he getting more opportunity? And earlier in the year it was he's a fourth liner, and then he got bumped up to the top six. Now he's found a home next to Elias Pettersson, and those two game to game are just gaining more chemistry, and he's looking at like a legit
hockey friends.
He's looking like a legit top six forward. Finally, you found the guy.
Yeah.
Maybe this is your long-term fit for Elias Pettersson. Should he get more power play time? Is that the next step?
Certainly. I mean, he's got the offensive talent.
But does... So, here's... This has always been my thing with Nils Höglander, is I think he's a very useful player. He's a very effective player, especially when you factor in the contract as well. He's an invaluable player to this team, and that's why we didn't see him move at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, does he have a defining quality that would make him a good fit on the power play?
Well, he's already on PP2.
Yeah.
PP1.
We're talking about power play one. Like... So, net front, I don't think he's better than Brock Besser at the front of the net. He's not going to go in JT Miller's spot. He's not going to go in Pettersson's spot.
Who are you replacing?
So, Suter is in the bumper spot. Do you think Höglander... Like, I think Suter's shot is better than Höglander's shot. I think Höglander's a guy who, like, look, he'll get rebounds. He'll fight for pucks. He knows where to be around the net. But...
I wouldn't say presently, but in future, yes.
I think it's maybe even down the stretch once they've clinched a playoff spot. Maybe it's worth a shot for a game or two just to see. Maybe his shot is better than I thought it was. But as of now, I would say Suter is still a better fit there on PP1 for now, especially because they seem to want to have a left-handed guy. I know Höglander is too, but that kind of negates Elias Lindholm being there. So you're kind of left with a few options. But I do wonder if at some point, just because he's scoring so much, he's so hot right now, that they do give him a shot on the top unit. I just don't know, again, if he has a defining quality that makes him a must fit on the top unit. And we talk about Lekkerimäki. Like, we see his shot, and that seems like something that's going to need to feature on the top power play because it's so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Höglander has a quality like that.
The final bit of tea as we wait for a word from the Canucks. This was mentioned by Elliot Friedman on a little podcast, 32 Thoughts, that released this morning. Elias Lindholm was scheduled for an appointment either yesterday or early this week to assess his little injury situation he's got going on. As per Elliot Friedman, that will tell us what route the Canucks are going down. I think everyone here is searching for clarity. Do you just decide you're playing through it and not practicing? Or is this something more serious than that? That's from 32 Thoughts. Why not just get him 100% healthy for the playoffs?
I
don't understand.
I wonder if it's like, hey, he can play through this. And he's obviously not going to be 100%, but he can play through this and be a relatively effective player, especially defensively. Maybe he's still going to lack offensive. But I wonder if it's like, hey, if there is a surgery necessary, how far does that go into the playoffs? And can you afford to miss him for potentially a round in the postseason? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they can, realistically, especially because the main reason you brought him in was for center depth. And look, you can maybe get by without him if everyone is healthy. But if you have an injury or two in the forward group in the postseason... you're really going to feel the lack of Elias Lindholm or the lack of another center in the group.
But okay, so but if he can play through it, what's the hurt, what's the downside in letting him sit right now?
Is it going to make it better if he sits? You know?
I understand that, but why put strain on the player? Let him rest.
Mainly because we just have no idea what the injury is. If it's an injury where he can sit and get rest and that helps it improve, then sure. Then I'm completely on board with it. But some injuries, it's like, hey, you have to get surgery.
But there is, without a doubt, benefit to rest, even if it doesn't directly affect the injury in question.
I'm sure he will get some rest at some point.
Because wear and tear is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already dealing with an ailment, why not soothe or heal or whatever the word is? The other things, the little nagging.
Go ahead and soothe yourself, Elias Lindholm.
Relax.
Go and relax and soothe yourself in the press box.
I think they should let him sit for a while.
I to be honest, I just have so little idea about like what injury it could be that it's hard to say, because at the same time, he's also fighting for his next contract, right? And right now, he's not doing himself any favors with how he's playing. If anything, he's probably driving his price down. But in his mind, he might be like, hey, I need to play. I need to show that I can play because I need to make some money this offseason. I have a family I got to provide for. I want to maximize my deal. Maybe he's like, hey, I just want to play through this until
okay,
he can't
anymore. If you're already not playing well playing through it,
I agree.
You're already having a direct impact on your future earnings.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
Thank you.
I'm trying to see it from his point of view
mm-hmm.
and from the team's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It might just depend on the injury. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him sit out a few games at some point, especially when they get, like, they clinch their spot. They're not jockeying for position. That's a situation where you can move, or you can have someone like Lindholm not playing in the lineup because it won't be as crucial, obviously. But 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. This one from Terry. He can play through this. That sounds familiar, like Ilya Mikheyev.
But again, like, we saw how that impacted the player. And then eventually he sat out.
I think that's what Terry is saying, is like, hey, we just saw this happen with Mikheyev. He played through it unnecessarily. This is a different situation because I think with Mikheyev, people looked at it last year like, hey, you're not fighting for a playoff spot right now. Just get your surgery done and get back healthy for a year where you might be competing for a playoff spot. With Lindholm, you are in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a situation where we see many teams and many players, like Matthew Tkachuk. I know it was the Stanley Cup final, but he played with a broken rib in the Stanley Cup final. Guys are going to push themselves through things late in the season and into the postseason when they're on a playoff team, even against better judgment. And we'll have to wait and see what this injury is. I do just wonder if, I keep saying it, I wouldn't be shocked to see him miss a few games to at least try to recover a little bit. Soothe himself, as you would say.
Okay. I was looking for the right word. Relax. We do have a touch of breaking news.
Sportsnet 650, breaking news.
As per Adrian Wojnarowski, Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter is out of the lineup and subject of an NBA investigation into irregularities on prop betting involving himself. Sources tell David Purdom and Windhorst and Woj. Story soon.
Telling a lot of people.
So, on the heels of Ohtani and that investigation,
well, Ohtani
on the heels of Shane Pinto in the NHL, the NBA now dealing with its own.
But this guy bet on himself. Betting. That feels way worse than the
well, we don't know what Ohtani did, so
fair enough.
We're still figuring that out.
But
sports inevitably was going to have this problem. And it continues to grow. We should talk about this on the other side of Alex once we're done with that. But that's another league dealing with a gambling accusation with a player in its own league.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati filling in for Bick Nizar. On the other side, Alex Gange-Ruzich is going to join us here on the People Show. It is Sportsnet 650.